Our next speaker has come from a long way to be here with us today, from France. And if you weren't familiar with his name and looked on the program, you would probably be inclined to pronounce his name Regis Laberda. And that's how an American would pronounce it. But in France, where our speaker is from, it is pronounced, I've been practicing this, I hope I get it right, Regis Laberda. Brother Regis has been to this country several times before and even been here in Chicago, but today is his first time serving us at one of our major conventions. And Brother Regis has selected as his subject an intriguing title, Story from the Old Testament, Isaac's Wells. Isaac's Wells. Brother Regis.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Dear brethren, it's again a great privilege for me and my wife Christine to be here, the first time at the Chicago convention. Just before we left, we took these pictures from our class of Baudelaire, and you see them busy in studying Hebrews chapter 2. And all the brethren of my class asked me to convey their feelings of Christian love, what I am doing now. Due to my bad American pronunciation, I will use some slides. Today we are going to consider Isaac's wells, a lesson found in Genesis chapter 26. We generally do not speak of Isaac as much as we do of Abraham or Jacob. In the book of Genesis, 13 chapters are devoted to Abraham and 8 to Jacob. Only 2 speak of Isaac. Abraham was a patriarch whose outstanding faith made him a friend of God. Thus, the well-known promises to Abraham, the revealment of God's plan to him, his life, his talks with God, are written with considerable detail. Jacob's life was quite different. He had to move to another country as various misfortunes, and he died in Egypt. He is, however, the father of the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Isaac lives between the two great personalities of his father and his son. He is like a character of transition, living at a time when nothing too important happens. Apart the description of his being the sacrifice on Mount Moriah, where the strength of his father Abraham is emphasized, and he himself plays a secondary role, the two chapters devoted to him describe a life with no exceptional events. Isaac married Rebecca when he was 40. Rebecca was probably a young girl at that time. She was also barren, as was her mother-in-law Sarah, even though God has promised to Abraham to multiply his posterity. There is a first similarity between Abraham and Isaac. Isaac had to pray to God to allow his wife to conceive. Genesis 25, verse 21. Thou, the wait was not as long as required by Abraham before he had a son with his wife. Yet, this was undoubtedly a test of Isaac's faith, as it had been for Abraham's faith. And there is a second similarity. Jacob and Esau were born when Isaac was 60 years old. At that time, Abraham was 160, since he was 60 years old when Isaac was born. Isaac's two sons had different characters and they did not get along with each other. One crucial point of their disagreement concerned the birthright. Matters about a birthright also affected the relationship of Isaac and Ishmael. There is a third similarity. Isaac had to leave the place where he lived because of a famine. This also happened to Abraham when he had to seek food elsewhere. Fourth similarity. Abraham, like Isaac, lived among the Philistines, whose king was Abimelech. In Genesis chapter 20, we are told that Abimelech took her because took Sarah, because he thought that she was Abraham's sister. But God did not allow Sarah to be violated by Abimelech. Later, we find much the same thing happening with Rebekah and perhaps another Abimelech, which is a fifth similarity. But there is more regarding the relationship between Abraham and Abimelech. In Genesis chapter 21, they became friends after Sarah returned to Abraham. After the passage of time, Abraham complained that Abimelech's servants had seized a well that Abraham's servants had dug. There is a discussion between them, and finally they make a covenant. Abraham gives Abimelech's seven lambs, and Abimelech recognizes Abraham as the owner of the well. This well is called Beersheba, meaning oath of seven. And after this covenant, Abimelech goes home, which, as we will see, is the sixth similarity. In Genesis chapter 26, we learn that Isaac, who lived in Sinai, went to Gerar because of a famine. He wanted to go to Egypt, but God told him, in verse 2 and 3, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father." Here is a map showing Gerar, Beersheba, and Sinai. In Gerar, in Philistine territory, Rebekah was attractive to Abimelech as her mother-in-law Sarah. Rebekah says she is Isaac's sister. In this case, Abimelech sees Isaac sporting with Rebekah, and he discovers the truth. This experience has a happy ending, since Abimelech doesn't punish Isaac. Instead, he protects him from other citizens of Gerar and allows him to stay. But we read in verse 12 to 15, then Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forth and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And now the behavior of Abimelech changes. He overlooked the business with Rebekah, but he cannot handle Isaac's great prosperity. And finally, he says to him, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." In verse 16. And Isaac leaves Gerar and establishes himself in a valley east of the city. Verse 17. Excuse me. No longer having access to the water of Gerar and needing water for himself and his cattle, Isaac first restores the wells his father had dug and which the Philistines had filled in. He gives those wells the same names they had previously. But there is more. We are told in verse 19, then he digs further in the valley and finds a well of springing water. But the Philistine shepherds contend with him over that new well, saying, "The water is ours." Isaac gives them the well and calls it Ezek, meaning strife, because they strove with him. Think about it. Digging a well in Isaac's day was not so easy. Today, a well can be dug by machine or explosives. Once the aquifer is reached, a pump can bring up the water. However, even today, this work is expensive. In olden time, it was different. To get through the rock to the aquifer, it was necessary to dig with bronze or iron tools, break the rock into pieces, and remove the pieces using baskets. The wells were of two basic types. The narrow vertical well, where one minimized the amount of cutting. Digging such a well with a pick was difficult because there was a lack of air. The result was what we know so well in Europe, a bucket attached to a cord which is lowered into the water far below, then brought back up to the surface. Or The broad well, much easier to dig when the rock is less hard. These types allows one to descend by a side staircase to remove the detritus during the digging, and to directly reach the water when the well is finished. But in either case, the digging of a well was expensive, if not in money, certainly in the man hours of labor going into it. The economic state for the one who owned it was enormous. When we think about this, we can understand first that Isaac would first remove what had been placed in the wells of Abraham, because it was much less work to carry out rubble thrown in a well than to break rock in the first place. Additionally, Isaac knew these wells tapped a sure water supply. Second, that the Philistine shepherds would naturally claim the water is ours. In arid countries, water sustains life, necessary for humans and flocks to drink and incidentally for washing. When one sees the stakes represented by access to fresh water in the Middle East today, one understands the considerable importance it had in Isaac's time. In the small valley of Gera, the aquifer is approximately 30 feet deep. It drops deeper as one travels towards Sinai. In fact, just 6 miles south of Gera, it is inaccessible using the conventional tools of Isaac's time. After the controversy with the Philistine shepherds, Isaac digs a second well in Gera. Verse 21 implies it was close to the first. Again, the Philistine shepherds quarrel about the well, although they had not dug it. The claim is undoubtedly lodged because it is on Philistine territory. Isaac, although concedes these wells to them, which he calls Sitna, meaning charge. Then they move away from these shepherds and dig a third well. No one contests his right to this one. He names it Rehoboth, which means great space. He says, "For now the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Verse 22. One can thus conclude that Isaac alone would benefit from this well and the neighboring pastures. But he moves east and arrives at Beersheba, where he finds new pastures for his herds. There God appears to him and says, "I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." Verse 24. Note that although God says he is with him, he says It is because of Abraham. And Isaac's servants dig a new well in Beersheba, the last one mentioned in this account. During the digging of this well, Isaac has an unexpected visit from Abimelech, who had driven him out of Gerar. Abimelech arrives with his friends Ahuzat and his military chief Pichol. Isaac is astonished by this visit and says, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" And Abimelech answers, "Because the Lord is with you." Abimelech asks Isaac to make a covenant with him, since Isaac is now blessed by God, and Abimelech feels he's weak in relation to such a man. Isaac invites them to eat with him, and the three Philistines leave the next morning after having exchanged oath. In chapter 26, verse 32 and 33 says, "And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servant came and told him concerning the well which had they had digged, and said unto him, 'We have found water.' And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day." I must take this day nowadays. What can we learn from these experiences of Isaac? First, Isaac walks in Abraham's footsteps. Through his obedient behavior, he keeps intact the relationship his father had with God. Some of Abraham's other descendants, such as Ishmael, Esau, and some of Jacob's sons, did not do that. In the account concerning the famine in Sinai, Isaac relies on God. God told him in verse 2, "Go now down into Egypt, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee." Yes, God takes care of us if we rely entirely on Him. As we read in Hebrews 13, verse 6, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." But do we trust sufficiently in the Lord? Let us not be too caught up in the requirements of everyday life, which might cause us to put our confidence elsewhere. But returning to Isaac, let us notice something. God said to him, "Remain in this country." Strong's 776 word Eretz, which means country, area, ground. This word doesn't mean city. City is the word ayard, strong. It's the word ayar, strong, 5892, a word used in verse 34, which means surrounding city, strength like all the town at the time. Isaac's choice was to either live in the city among the Philistines, but in a protected area, or to live outside the city with no protecting walls, requiring his servants to serve as security and protection against robbers. It is reasonable to think that Isaac's troubles in Gerar came about because he lived in the city among the Philistines. Thus, King Abimelech sees him through a window from his palace in the city, sporting with Rebekah, even though he said she was his sister. Isaac had clearly lied about his relationship with Rebekah. He felt he had to do that because he wanted the benefits of living in the city. Somewhat like Lot, remember, Lot, who chose to live in Sodom. Isaac's dissimulation is on public display through the ordinance of Abimelech. He that touched this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Thus, everyone knew exactly what Isaac, by fear, tried to hide. And the declaration of Abimelech, who seems to be someone trying to do the right thing, is remarkable. He says to him, "What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." Isaac's poor judgment reminds us the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2, verse 13, where he speaks of Peter's attitude concerning eating or not eating with Gentiles. He says, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." Paul was never afraid of voicing his opinions. An example not always easy to follow. Then comes the times when Isaac, because of his prosperity, arouses the envy of the Philistines, who responds by filling the wells dug by Abraham. Then Abimelech drives him out of the city, giving as a reason that he has become too rich and too powerful. Isaac leaves and excavates the wells and even digs a new one. Having invested so much in this work, having restored a well which supplies water and therefore life, and acknowledged as being powerful, he could have confronted the Philistine shepherds, and they would probably have backed down. But he doesn't do that. He digs another well. The Philistine shepherds want that one too, and he gives it to them. Can you imagine the reaction of the servants of Isaac? "We dig the wells, and then he gives them to others. He could resist them. We are certainly strong enough. But no, Isaac does not want a confrontation, and so he concedes. Does that not teach a lesson of devotion to others, especially by someone who is powerful and who could use his power to get what he wants? Isaac leaves Gerar and goes to Beersheba, where he digs another well. It is during this time that Abimelech arrives with his two friends. Isaac's reaction is understandable, but not magnanimous. He expresses anger that Abimelech drove him out of the city, but when Abimelech says he seeks friendship, it is like a request for forgiveness. And Isaac does forgive readily, since he invites them to eat with him. He makes a covenant with these important people who ask, or if not implore, for his friendship. Isaac is generally considered by Bible scholars to be a man of peace. And that's how he appears in this account. Christians should also be men and women of peace, and especially be prompt to forgive. Let us go further and see if there is in this experience something which might be a figure for the achievements of the plan of God. Let us see if the attitude of a Christian can be symbolized in some of these events associated with Isaac and the Philistines. In this account, there is a competition for survival, to have control over something essential for life, which is water. Isaac leaves Sinai when there is a famine. Undoubtedly, that happened because it did not rain, and thus there were no water for vegetation, no life for the herds. Isaac goes to Gerar, where there is water. In the Bible, water is symbol of truth. The Lord himself gives an example in his discussion with a Samaritan woman, saying, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. There was a time in each of our lives where we had the same thirst for truth, and we decided to find it wherever it was. After finding it, we probably decided to do our best to serve God. With a pure and untiring zeal, and thanks to this water, we grew in knowledge and grace. We know that the love of the world is a large obstacle to serving the Lord, since the world forces us to compromise. At the time, we don't realize the consequences of those compromises, which can trap us one day. Isaac found water in Gerar, but to benefit from it, he lived in the city, enjoying its comfort and safety. To avoid problems related to the beauty of Rebekah, he lied to those around him. Does that not illustrate the compromises we sometimes think we are forced to make? For Isaac, the experience ended by a humiliating order from Abimelech. For Christians, any compromise in life ends with a trial. Isaac knows that he has become rich and the Philistines are jealous, so he leaves the city. But outside, the Philistines plundered the wealth of Abraham. Driven out of his refuge of comfort, which is Gerar, what does Isaac do? He again seeks water from wells he had not used for a long time. A Christian inevitably seeks truth. That which appears to be best for him, basic truth, is not new. It is truth that formerly our Lord revealed to us and which has been hidden for various reasons throughout the ages, especially during the Dark Ages, like the wells of Abraham filled in by the Philistine. But a Christian seeks to better understand truth and always wants to know more. The picture of Isaac digging wells like Isaac or Ensitna illustrates this desire. But these two wells, respectively called, remember, strife and charge, are still too close to the city, are located in the Philistine area, so Isaac cannot really find water that will give him peace, a peace which he dearly wants. A Christian cannot seek peace at any cost because he will never find it. But if he wants to find the truth and to understand it eventually, he must know that the world cannot give this kind of peace to him. Only by being completely devoted to God can he find it. In our research of the truth of the plan of God for mankind, Isaac and Sitna are illustrations of a search made without wanting to find it, or more properly, knowing that what we seek is right, okay, but that the influence of the world is too pervasive in our life. That prevents us from fully benefiting from this truth. To have the peace he needs and wants, Isaac must move from Gerar and dig wells where the water is less accessible, where finding it requires hard work. But he sees with satisfaction that this time, while having dug a Rehoboth, nobody tries to take it from him. The truth and the knowledge that goes with it is not obtained where it is easiest to dig. One must work hard. One must study the scriptures with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. But what satisfaction there is when we advance in the knowledge of the Word and of the plan of God. Rehoboth means broad spaces. In Isaac's case, there are no more Philistines to contend with over the water. There are broad spaces where he can feed his herds and cultivate his crops. The knowledge of the Word of God brings so much to us as we study, and with such detail. Is it not a broad space, an Eldorado of spiritual treasure, where so many things still remain to be discovered? Search we may for many years, still some new rich gem appears. And finally, Isaac digs the last well, Beersheba. This well is interesting in more ways than one. First, according to the Bible, it is the last well dug by Isaac. He does not dig another since he now has enough water for his family and his flocks. Second, this well is also the place of reconciliation with King Abimelech and his assistants, a reconciliation sealed by a covenant. Finally, we know that Beersheba has one of the greatest groundwater reserves in the south of Israel. Abundant water, virtually inexhaustible, and of high quality, because it's filtered by the calcareous stone. Today, the water supplies a city of almost 120,000 inhabitants, including its surrounding areas. You can probably guess the application. This water represents blessings of the life-giving Word, which will be poured out during the kingdom on all humanity, which is represented by Abimelech and his companions. They want to profit from the blessings that Christ and his church can be represented here by Isaac and Rebecca, will bring them at the time. This water of truth will be final. There will not be some different water, fresher or purer, to be discovered. This water will be sufficient to nourish humanity forever. Just as the water tapped by Isaac's Beersheba well today nourishes the town of Beersheba, the blessings of the kingdom will nourish everyone when Christ and his church reign, bringing to all mankind the opportunity to live everlastingly. Finally, we know that Isaac concluded a covenant greatly desired by Abimelech. How much greater will be the new covenant that Christ will make with the people of Israel and all humanity. This covenant will symbolize peace with God. In conclusion, Isaac is not a patriarch who provides us many types and symbols, certainly not compared to his famous father. But his trials, which could be considered as ordinary in the world in which we live, nevertheless teach valuable lessons concerning our own attitude as Christians. May we learn much from them. Amen.